Is this okay? I was trying to hook them. Usually I put it there and they'll go, I'll go, is this okay? And they go a little higher and I go, is this okay?
All right.
I've been around Andy too long, or he's been around me too long. Hey, I want to give you something. It's got nothing to do with my message, but if somebody tells you something that helps you in your Christianity or helps somebody else, is that good? How about I tell you something simple, very, very simple, something I've been doing this week, and I do it probably not enough, but I want to try to do it more faithfully. I have enjoyed the young people singing. And so you're like I think today there's all girls here, and then there was girls, guys, girls. And whenever the young people get up, here's what you do. Pray for every one of them to get a spouse. I started at this end when the girls were singing, and I just looked at this girl, and I said, now, God, get that girl a good husband. And the next one said, now, God, give that girl a good husband. And give that one a good husband. And I got to the guys. I didn't ask for good husbands. But if you do that, how about it, man? I mean, you know, you've got some good young people. Isn't that true? And wouldn't it be nice for them to know that every time they're singing, you're praying for them? So that's not the message. That's just something free. Open your Bibles to Joshua chapter 4. You know, we make we make memorials out of stone. You go to a cemetery and they are made out of stone. And you go to some, I don't know, I hope Canadians aren't as stupid as Americans about this, but we go to American national parks. If you want to know where it's quiet, quietest place I think we've ever been in our lives is Death Valley. I know it sounds like a joke, but it is. It's just, I mean, we go there. We get a room in this, what's it called, babe? Stovepipe Wells. Stovepipe Wells is this hotel, motel, whatever it is. And what you do is you walk out at night, and you know what you hear? Absolutely nothing. I mean, dead silence. I can't tell you how nice it is. And then we're walking up this canyon, and I am just not into all this garbage. Let's pile up the rocks because we worship the earth. Let's not. Amen. And so what I do is I just knock all those altars down. I mean, I came in one man, you know, and they were everywhere. And I just knocked them all over. You say, why are you doing that? Well, I'm trying to remove the hint of man and make it look more the way it was naturally. And I'm coming through one time, and this bozo idiot, he had about 4 stacks of rocks up. And he goes, I put these up myself. And do you color? And I said, really? Why? But anyway, the reason I say that is that's what you do with stones. You pile them up for a memorial, isn't that right? Right?
Yep.
Joshua chapter 4, look at verse 6. It says this, we're going to start here, we're going to jump out of here, we'll be back here. You can keep a marker here if you want. This is when the children of Israel were crossing the Jordan. And it says this in verse 6, that this may be a sign among you that when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what mean ye by these stones? Let's bow our heads and let's talk to the Lord. Father. Father, we have no problem with you, no problem with this book. It is not. This Bible, God, is not a good book. It is not a good book. It is the good book. God, your book is not a good book on a list of good books. It is the only one on the list. We could number 1 through 10, 1 through 100, 1 through a million, doesn't matter. It'd be the only one on the list. Leave the rest of them blank. So, God, we have no problem with you. And we have no problem with your book. But dear God, you know what a mess I am. And so I'm asking you, for the sake of these people, would you please get Sam Gipp out of their way? You know everything about me, God, that would prevent you from ever speaking to these people or speaking through me. Would you please get Sam Gipp out of your way and out of their way? Would you please, Father, for these people and for your own sake, will you please deliver this message to each person here that they would be edified, that in turn they would ultimately glorify thee. In Jesus Christ's name I pray, amen. You can keep a marker here. We'll be back later, but um, Open your Bibles, if you will, to Exodus chapter 24. We're just going to go look at piles of stones. What mean ye? That's the question asked. What mean ye by these stones? That's what he said. He said, what mean ye by these stones? That's what I asked that bozo. You know, what are you doing this for? It doesn't do nothing. I hope you're on a rock piler upper. Really? Well, I just feel like I'm communing with nature. Well, you're not. You're being an idiot. You know, you just pile up rocks. You know, well, I mean, it's so bad. We were someplace. Oh, we were in Arches National Park in Utah, and there's huge. I mean, just naturally huge piles of rocks. And I have such a reputation in my family for knocking over piles of rocks. I said, wait here, Kathy. I grabbed his beer. I said, I'll get these down. But look at Exodus chapter 24. We're going to look at the piles of stones, the stone markers that have been left throughout time. And I want you to see what they are, what they mean, and we'll just move on and let Brother Jenkins get up here. By the way, I want to mention this. You know, your pastor mentioned about the offering, about you can give to anybody you want, put their name on it. And of course, you know my name is spelled G-I-P-P. I hope you know. But whoever's counting that, sometimes people spell our name in Greek, which is J-E-N-K-I-N-S. Or sometimes they do the Hebrew, T-I-T-H-E. But anyway, well, I mean, you know, there's an upside to Greek and Hebrew. Look what it says here, verse 3, Exodus chapter 24, verse 3. And Moses came and told the people all the words of the Lord and all the judgments. And all the people answered with one voice and said, all the words which the Lord hath said will we do. And Moses wrote all the words of the Lord and rose up early in the morning and builded an altar under the hill and 12 pillars according to the 12 tribes of Israel. This is the first time that any kind of a pile of stone, pillars are going to be one of two things. Either they're one big stone that were etched into pillars or they were stone pillars. Now, there's a fellow I was reading about. Save guy did some excavation, feels that he found the place where they crossed the Red Sea, which is not the traditional place. And on the other side of that, he found several things. He found a mountain with the top of it burned, as though Moses had been up there and the top of it had been on fire, scorched. He found a cave, because later Elijah went to a cave there. He found at the base of that an altar, because the children of Israel built that altar, and he said there are 12 pillars of stone. And what were these pillars about? These pillars were a memorial. Now, here's the thing about a pile of stones. I don't care. You know, if you do that, you know, you stack a stone. When you see it, the first thing you know is it was done on purpose, correct? I mean, it didn't happen by accident. It was done on purpose. And you know what they did this for? And if this is true, if that guy found those, that means that the pillars we just read about are still on this earth as I speak to you. I mean, this excavation, or this find is his, was somewhere around 1990 or something like that, or 1980. But these pillars are still here. And you know what these were a memorial of? They were a memorial of the first time the children of Israel heard from God. I mean, they met with God. This is right after the Ten Commandments, is it not? It's when the Ten Commandments have been delivered and all the law and all the commandments. Man, you know what it's like? Do you remember the first time God spoke to you? Do you remember the first time you say, "Oh, that was not a coincidence. That was not emotionalism. That was not me making it up. That was not smoke and mirrors. That was not somebody fooling me. That was God." This was the first time that the children of Israel had heard from God. It was the first time they had met God. This is when they chose God. Is that what they did? Did they not choose God? All the words which the Lord has said, will we do? Did they not choose God here? Now I'm going to tell you something, and I don't know if I ever told anybody this. And now you can write this up as anything you want, but I'll just tell you what happened. I told you that I was a lost Roman Catholic. I've often said that there was no Bible in our home. I say that based on this. I say that based on the fact that when I was 19 years old, due to some circumstances in my life, I was going to kill myself. I wouldn't have killed myself. I was going to shoot myself in the brain, which I'd have taken 3 or 4 shots. But stir around, try to hit it. But I was going to kill myself, and I went searching all through our house for a Bible. There was no Bible in our home. But at some time in my life, there was a Bible in our home. And I know that because there was a letter that my mom had, and it had a little portion of Scripture. Before I got saved, the only portion of Scripture that I ever read was where it said that if thou have faith like a grain of mustard seed, thou shalt say to this mountain, you know, behold, we'll throw cast in that ocean, that sea, and it'll be cast in the sea. And that, you know, that book says faith cometh by what? And hearing by the... That was the only verse I ever saw in my life. And I did not know when I was just a little kid. I mean a little kid. I don't know how little, but I was a little kid. And I read that verse, and I did not know that what was happening when I was reading that, I think, was a little seed was being planted in my heart. And that seed, that verse was about, the subject was about faith, correct? And is that not the most important thing? Without what, it's impossible to please God? And you have to have faith in Christ to be saved? So here's this Roman Catholic kid who doesn't know anything about salvation by grace, and now I'm in my teens. And I'm wicked. I'm wicked as the day is long. In my bedroom, I had a little bed, you know, and at the foot of my bed was a window that faced the back of our house. And I've often said it faced five steel mills. I used to just look out there. I'd open the window during the summer and listen to steel mills. I love the sound of steel mills. I love the horns and the engines powering up and steel clanging on concrete. I love that. And I'd listen to those. But this must have been a winter because it was awfully quiet that night. And I can still remember I'm laying at the foot of my bed and I'm looking out at the stars and I'm talking to God. And I am what I was reasoning out faith. And here's how I reasoned out faith. This was my conclusion. My conclusion as a lost Roman Catholic somewhere in my teens was this. If you really had faith in God, you could, if you had faith that he would catch you, you could jump off a cliff and not worry about it. Now, is that true? A Catholic had some of you beat, didn't he? Come on, guys. Aren't you putting faith in the resurrection of Jesus Christ? Aren't you putting faith in the blood of Christ? Faith, and that's how we got saved. And so what I'm saying is that I was understanding the total abandonment of faith. So I didn't have any structure. And so I'm laying there at the foot of my bed. Now, guys, I'm going to tell you what happened. You don't have to buy into this, but I'll tell you what happened. I'm reasoning out faith. And basically what I was coming to was this. You can trust God. And you can trust God explicitly, and you can trust God about everything, and you don't ever have to worry. You don't ever have to not trust God. Okay, is that right? You can always have faith in God. Now, that's all I know. I didn't know about the plan of salvation. And so as I'm laying in bed, and I looked out, I'm looking at the starry sky. Now, guys, I said this to God. I said, God, I don't know if I'm right. Now, look, please, I was just a Catholic kid. I said, I don't know if I'm right. But I said, if I'm right, I'd like to see a shooting star. They said, oh, you're looking for a sign. I was lost, man. I was lost. I was trying to be a charismatic. And I said, I'd like to see a shooting star. And I am telling you, within about 10 seconds, a shooting star went across the sky. And you know what I said? Didn't Gideon put the fleece out twice? Yeah. I mean, well, you know, the first time, could have been. I said, God, I know. But I said, just to make sure that wasn't a fluke, I'd like to see another one. And in about 10 seconds, another went by. And then I watched for hours, and not a third one went by. And you say, well, what does that mean? I don't know. That's the first time I've heard from God. That's the first time I ever had an acknowledgement of God in my life. You know, I always believed in God. I was raised believing in God. But it all started with that verse about faith. And I can remember to this day the first time I knew God was kind of looking. Do you remember the first time you heard from God? You know, you prayed something. You prayed something just as screwy as I prayed. You just don't have the guts to say it. But you have all asked God. Come on, we all got enough charismatic in us to be looking for a sign for something. And have you ever just done something or had God do something that you just kind of went, whoa, God's looking. God has got his eye on me. God is paying attention. You have had that happen. Am I talking to people who have had that happen? You know what they did? They marked it. I will bet you guys. Now, would you do this? Put yourself out in the middle of a desert. and there's a mountain, and you look up, and all of a sudden the top of the mountain is on fire, that would get your attention, would it not? And then you hear the voice of God. You hear the thunder. And you know Moses is up there. And then Moses comes down and says, that was God talking. And here's what he said. Would that not be a momentous occasion? Would you not want to mark that? And that's what this memorial was. It was a memorial of the very first time that the children of Israel heard from God. They met with God. And they chose God. And some of you, you remember when you heard from God? Do you remember the first time you met with God? Do you remember when you chose God? I didn't say when He chose you. Do you remember? I am talking, look, I love these young people. I love these young ladies, young men. Get up here. I see these guys get up here, these kids. And you know what I pray? I was doing this a year ago at Brother Jenkins. I can still remember it. His young people were getting up. And I'm looking at these young people and I said, God, I said, will you take a look at this? These are young people. They're not out drugging. They're not out dancing. They're not listening to bad stuff. I said, they're in here trying to glorify you with their mouths, with their songs, with their lives. Would you please bless these kids? You guys remember when you chose God. Don't you remember when you chose God? Did you not choose God? Because if you haven't chosen God, we need to stop now and you need to do it. Amen. And so they marked it. You could walk out in the middle of that desert today and say, what mean these stones? What do you mean by these stones? I'll tell you what that means. Some Old Testament Jew, one of those guys right there, if he could show up, he'd say, I'll tell you what. You know what that means? You know what those represent? Thunder, man. Thunder like you never heard. Fire like you never saw. And God speaking to us for the first time. That's what it was. It was a memorial. Take a look at Ezekiel chapter 28. I'm sorry. Exodus chapter 28. They're close. Exodus chapter 28, look at verse 15. And thou shalt make the breastplate of judgment with cunning work. After the work of the ephod, thou shalt make it of gold, of blue, and of purple, of scarlet, and of fine twined linen shalt thou make it. You know, I told you I like my God. Right? You know what I like about Him? He likes colors. God likes colors. Take a look at flowers. Did he come up with some colors on that? Take a look at birds. Was that not an idea? Take a look at animals, fish. You ever see a parrotfish? Well, I don't know why they call it parrot. They ought to call it pastel fish. I mean, it is just beautiful colors. People. Animals. I mean, God likes colors. And so when it comes to worshiping Him, He wants some colors in here. Verse 17, this is talking about the breastplate. Verse 16, four square. It shall be, being doubled. A span shall be the length of it, and a span shall be the breadth thereof. And thou shalt set in it settings of stones. Even four rows of stones, the first row, shall be a sardis, a topaz, and a carbuncle. This shall be the first row. The second row shall be an emerald, and a sapphire, and a diamond. The third row, a ligure, and an agate, and an amethyst. And the fourth row, a beryl, and an onyx, and a jasper. And they shall be set in gold in their enclosings. You know what these stones were? Now, these stones were gems. These stones are what we would call precious or semi-precious gems, correct? I don't know if you have this, but just across the border, not in this part, go a little bit west in Montana. It's called the Gem State. It's called the Gem State for a good reason. They're everywhere. I don't know if you ever went looking for sapphires. Sapphires are just cool. You take a screen box, you know, where you can filter the dirt out, and you get a shovel full of dirt, and you throw it in there, and you do this, and you know how you know if you got a sapphire? Because you have a bunch of rocks, anything round, anything, any odd, weird shape, pitch it. You know you have a sapphire. Have you ever seen a yellow pencil with six sides? You know, just a regular pencil with six sides, lead pencil. That's what a sapphire has. A sapphire is just six sides, hexagon, just perfect six sides. And sometimes it will look like a section of a lead pencil, except it'll be dark purple. And there, you can just go out in the field and do it. We've got a picture of a pastor. We don't want to see this picture. It's really a bad angle. But this pastor's on his hands and knees. We will not tell you what portion of this man that we have the picture of. But it's all of us. You know what we're doing? You're driving. Now listen, you're driving in this road to Montana. You come over a hill, and all of a sudden, out in this dirt road, you know what you see? sparkling red light. Sparkles of red all through the road. And you stop and you get out. And you know what's the red? The red is garnets. And we're just gone nuts, man. We're all out there laying on our bellies, except for the pastor who's on all fours. He should have been on his belly. Because it made a great picture. We're going to sell this back to him. And we're just picking up these garnets. And you know what these were? These were semi-precious and precious stones. And they are also a memorial. Did these not? Now look, those stones, those pillars represented something. Did they not? They represented a meeting with God. They represented hearing from God. They represented a nation that had chosen God. Is that not what they represented something? That's what a memorial is. When you go to a graveyard, there is a stone, right? And it represents where someone, this is a representation that someone lived and died. And so those precious stones, each one represented one of the children of Israel. You know who they're worn by? They're worn by the high priest. You know where he wore them? Look at verse 30. And thou shalt put in the breastplate of judgment the Urim and the Thummim, and they shall be upon Aaron's heart. Man, you know where those stones ended up? Those stones ended up right over the heart of the high priest. Right? You know what you are? You know what a stone is? You know what a precious stone is? Isn't that just so much dirt that after enough pressure and time, and I don't mean millions of years, probably just enough pressure, maybe a couple of weeks, it has come out a precious gem. You know, guys, sometimes maybe the pressure that you're under is going to make you very precious. It's going to make you very precious. And you take that stone, and you know where it ended up? That stone ends up right over the heart of the high priest. And I was talking to the guys today. You know what the Bible says? The Bible says that the Lord Jesus Christ, of all of the things that he is, he's the Lamb of God, and he's all those things. But you know what else he is? He is our high priest. So here we are, a bunch of walking, talking dirt balls. And wouldn't it be nice to think that, man, there we are right on the above the heart of our high priest. You know where these stones ended up? These stones ended up, now get this, in the Holy of Holies. And you know where we're headed? We're headed for the holiest of all. We are headed for the Holy of Holies. So this was another memorial. It was just kind of like, it's just kind of like I always know it's there. You ever lose anything? You know, I was talking to a guy one time, and he was stupid. I mean, he was stupid. He wasn't even qualified for what he wanted to do. He thought he was going to correct all the mistakes in the Bible. And I just asked him one question. I said, "You ever lose your car keys?" He goes, "Yeah." I go, "Okay. Where didn't you get it?" I said, "Do you ever lose your car keys?" He said, "Yes." "And you're going to correct the Bible?" I mean, did you ever lose your glasses and couldn't find them? Where did I put my glasses? I lost my car keys. Oh, man, I looked everywhere. You know why? Because I kept looking in this pocket where they always are, and my car keys weren't in the pocket. You know why? Because they were in that pocket. And I wanted to find the guy that put them in that pocket. They don't belong in that pocket. They belong in his pocket. And I'm going to correct the Bible. I mean, you can't find your glasses. You can't find your car keys. And you're going to correct the Bible? You better stop using silverware. You're going to hurt yourself when you try to eat. Guys, we end up in the Holy of Holies. And I like that. And it's a memorial. And here's what I was going to say. You don't have to worry about the high priest forgetting where you're at. He just goes, "Yeah, there they are. Right over my heart." And he steps into the Holy of Holies. And that's a memorial. Look at Joshua chapter 4. This is what we were just looking at. Now, I want you to listen to me as I read. I want you to read where I tell you to read. Go on as we go. Look at verse 3. Joshua chapter 4, verse 3. It says, "Command ye them." Now, this is what he's telling. He's telling, well, let's go back up. Let's go back up to verse 1. "It came to pass, when all the people were clean passed over Jordan, that the Lord spake unto Joshua, saying, Take you 12 men out of the people, out of every tribe of man, and commanded them, saying, Take you hence out of the midst of Jordan, out of the place where the priest's feet stood firm, 12 stones. And you shall carry them over with you and leave them in the lodging place where you shall lodge this night. And Joshua called the twelve men whom he had prepared of the children of Israel, out of every tribal man. And Joshua said unto them, pass over before the ark of the Lord your God. So he sent them ahead. Into the midst of Jordan, and take you up every man of you a stone upon his shoulder, according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel. For this, that this may be a sign among you, that when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what mean ye by these stones? Then ye shall answer to them, now here's the meaning of this memorial, that the waters of Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord. When it passed over Jordan, the waters of Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be for a memorial unto the children of Israel forever. And the children of Israel did so as Joshua commanded. They took up 12 stones out of the midst of Jordan, as the Lord commanded unto Joshua, according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, and carried them over with them unto the place where they lodged, and laid them down there. Look at verse 20. And those 12 stones which they took up out of Jordan did Joshua pitch in Gilgal. So here's what he said. He said, you're going to cross the Jordan. Now you guys know that the Jordan was dried up, correct? God dried the Jordan up. You ever notice stones in a river? They tend to just kind of be round. Most of the time, they're worn by water. I think it's up in New England. There's one place in our country where you can find what's known as cobblestones. They're just round stones. And you just see a stone, man, especially if it's been beaten, the water, it is just a round stone. Sometimes you look at a stone, you ever just look at a stone and go, that looks like it came out of a river. And so here's what he did. He said, you're going to go from here to there. And he said, when you get there, he said, I want 12 guys. So 12 guys, I don't know what they were. I'm going to guess, maybe it looked like, put it up on your shoulder, a good sized stone. And these 12 guys bring these stones that are plainly river rocks. They're not like maybe the flat shale or the very sharp, jagged rocks that are laying up on the beach anywhere, up on the bank. They don't fit. They're from the river. And he says, take these stones. He says, pile them up. And he said, here's why you do it. You're going to die. He said, everybody that crosses Jordan is going to die. Is that not true? And you're going to tell your kids, but then, maybe they're not going to tell their kids. Who knows? But he said, someday, maybe Israel's going to forget about what just happened. And he said, you leave these stones here because he said, what I want is I want one of your kids come die. Kids play. Do kids play by rivers? I don't even know if kids play outside anymore. If they want to play outside, they just switch to another game. But here's what it is. Can you imagine this? Now, think about this. Maybe third generation, I mean the grandkids of these guys that crossed, they remembered, their dads told them about it, their dads remembered as I was a little kid, we crossed the Jordan, and tells the story, and so the third generation remembers the stories, doesn't do much with it. And now the great-grandkids come home one day and say, hey Dad, we were down by the river, we were playing Israelites and Jordanians, and we won. And he said, you know what's really crazy, Dad? He said, we saw a pile of stones down there. And he said, these stones, they weren't just like somebody took stones that were laying around and piled them up. These stones, we looked in the river, and these were river stones. These stones were taken, it looks like they were taken like right out of the middle of that river, Dad. How on earth did anybody, come on. You ever try to pick a stone up out of water? Could you imagine, and then you go down about 12 feet and grab a stone this big and go, you got a problem, do you not? And he says, and here's what Dad says. Oh, yeah. I remember my dad telling me about those stones. Sit down, son. This is something that is part of your heritage that I have to tell you I've been unfaithful in telling you about. Sit down, son. I've got to tell you something about your history. And that father relates to a son who knew nothing about this. Do you understand? You know what these stones were for? These stones are memorial. But get this, the purpose of these stones was to cause the future children. I don't mean children of Israel like the term children of Israel. I'm talking about the children of Israel. These stones were put there for one purpose, and that is to cause the children of Israel to be curious about them and to ultimately ask and learn about God. Isn't that right? They're memorial. You know, we need memorials. You know what we need? We desperately need something that our children see and go, what does that mean? I don't know what memorials. Now look, I'm not talking about religious things, and I'm not talking about, you know, pieces of the cross. Or, you know, I mean, like there's like 900 spikes from the cross or whatever, you know, that the Catholics have. But I can think of two real quick. Baptism and the Lord's Supper. Aren't those called memorials? You know, maybe, guys, and look, I'm not into taking the Lord's Supper every week, but maybe we don't take it enough. Maybe we don't take baptism seriously enough. Do you understand? Because those were given, and that Lord's Supper was given. You know what I think about when I take the Lord's Supper? I think that I am taking part of something that my Lord Himself took part of. Sometimes I have actually felt like I might have been in the room, or He was in the room. And maybe parents, maybe you need to sit down with your children and really convey the spiritual meaning of what baptism is, what it's for, and the Lord's Supper. Now, I'm going to give you two more. You can throw them out if you want. I'm going to use a four-letter word for some people. Christmas. Well, it's not four letters. Well, for some folks it is. Now, if you don't keep Christmas, that's okay. That's okay. But we do. All right? And there's a reason we do. We get presents. I'm pretty sure there's another one, but I can't remember what it is. But, no, guys, look, you can talk to me. Look, you don't have to come up and tell me about Baal. You know, everybody says, well, that's a Baal bush. Yeah, it's the only god that you throw away after a week. Right? I mean, you say, well, you get down when you get the presents. You get down on your knees. Well, did you ever get down on your knees beside your bed to get your slippers? Quit worshiping your slippers. Or is it the dust bunnies? Bunnies. I've got you. Heathen. But would it be something if you really, now listen, really got a chance to sit down with your kids and say, you know what Christmas is about? It's supposed to be about the day that God sent His only begotten Son down here. And you know why He sent Him down here? For you. You weren't even born. And you weren't even a thought. You weren't a thought in my mind because I didn't exist. And you weren't a thought in your grandfather's mind because they didn't exist. You weren't a thought in your great-grandparents' mind because they didn't exist. You know who you were a thought in the mind of? You were in a thought. You were a thought in the mind of God. And He sent His only begotten Son down here. And Christmas, we celebrate today. This is not the day He was born. Highly doubt that it was December 25th. But this is the day that we thank God for sending His Son. You know, guys, I don't want to hear your argument against it. You don't have to keep Christmas if you don't want. But here's my concept of people who don't keep Christmas. We tell the lost world 364 days a year, get your mind on God. And one day a year they do it and we go, wrong day. Well, yeah, we wouldn't want them. I mean, they're lost. We wouldn't want them to do anything right by accident. I'll tell you another day that might be a good memorial. Keep your kids' spiritual birthdays. You know, I told you I got saved June 14th, 1970. That's my spiritual birthday. I got a friend, and you know what he does? He gives his kids gifts on their birthdays. He gives his kids gifts on their spiritual birthdays. Now, all of the kids think this is a great idea. Is this not a great idea? Say amen right there. Amen. Well, really? But you see what I'm saying, guys? Here's why you need to do it. You need to do something. Look, you know what this pile of rocks was for kids four generations away? You know what it was? I'm going to give you the word. It was strange. And don't kids ask about something that is strange? That's why. Dad, these rocks plainly came out of the river. I know those. Look, Dad. Take your dad. Look, Dad. See, I told you. Here they are. Just like we said, there's 12 of them here, as I can tell in this pile. And they plainly came out of that river. That's strange. But isn't it when something's strange, that's when your mind goes into gear? And now you're open to learn something. We need something. I may not even know exactly what it is, but we desperately need something to make our children hungry and curious about the things of God. Our kids are not hungry and curious about the things of God. Maybe just some good Bible teaching. I mean, just verse by verse Bible teaching. Make these kids hungry to learn something about God. But in this same passage, there's another pile of stones. Look at verse 9. Now he told them, go down the middle of Jordan as you're going through and pick up 12 stones and put them near the bank, correct? But now look what he says here. And Joshua set up 12 stones in the midst of Jordan, in the place where the feet of the priests which bear the Ark of the Covenant stood, and they are there unto this day. Is that not a memorial? Those stones are there now. And you know what? Here's what happened. The priests are going to stand here. They're going to hold the ark. Children of Israel, they're holding back the waters. Children of Israel cross. And then these guys pick up 12 stones from where they were standing, and they put them up there as a memorial. But he said, now here's what I want you to do. Don't get those round river stones. Those came out of the river. Get some old jagged rock that plainly isn't a river rock. And go right back down to the middle and stack them up in a memorial. Now, they're underwater, correct? But you ever look underwater? I mean, you know, sometimes you can see underwater. Now, from what I hear about the Jordan, maybe not. We had a church up in upstate New York. And the parsonage was right on one of the Finger Lakes. Beautiful Finger Lake. And it was all stones. It's stones. Had a big old dock. I had a dock probably went from that wall out to this back wall, maybe even farther. And I'll never forget, had this missionary come by. And we had a great big truck inner tube. And it was about a mile or two across the lake. And this missionary says, oh, I think you get in that inner tube and paddle all the way to the other side of the lake. And I said, I don't think you want to do that. Well, I think I can do it. I said, well, yeah, but I don't think you want to do that. I mean, look, guys, it's not like I'm lazy, but you know what happens when you get on the other side? You're going to come back. Because Gip ain't getting his car and come search you. So you're coming back. And he says, well, I'm going to do it. So, okay, have yourself a time. So he gets in this great big old truck inner tube and starts across this lake. Now, there was one little problem. The little problem was this lake is spring-fed, and there's just a tad of a current. So you're not going to land over there. You're going to land over there. Well, he got about the middle of this lake when he realized, you know, he suddenly had the same realization that I knew standing back on a dock. I was just a little ahead of my time. And he thought, I don't want to do this. I'm coming back. But now you understand, he's got to come in and against the current. And he's... He said, what are you doing? So, what could I do? Throw rocks at him? Well, what do you want me to do? And so now get this. I am out on the end of my dock. Let's say this dock is from that wall to here. And I'm watching it. I mean, listen, this guy, by the time he got in to where he was actually in from my dock. But he's about, maybe from here to the back wall. And he is shocked. He is he feels like you guys, after you ran the rickshaw race, felt energized compared to this guy. He is literally bleeding, raw, rubbing the inner tube with his arms trying to paddle. And he's going to die right within sight, and I'm not doing a thing. And he finally looks at me, and he's almost incredulous, and he goes, can't you do something to help? And I never realized till then, so I helped. I said, try standing up. It was this deep. It was this deep, another 50 feet this way. I thought he knew. Oh, man, I'm telling you, all you do is look, you could see the rocks. When I said, try standing up, I mean, he goes, and he steps out of the sink, and he's standing in water this deep, and it's boiling. And he looked like Wile E. Coyote after one of his plans blew up, you know. He's got this inner tube, and steam coming out of the water. But here's the thing. I wasn't being unkind. I really wasn't. Had I realized he didn't know, I would at least enjoy it. I wouldn't have told him anything, but I at least would have enjoyed it more. I thought, well, doesn't he see? I thought he was just determined to swim all the way back to the dock. I mean, for the last 20 minutes, he was in shallow water. And I just been watching because I thought he knew. You say, why'd you think he knew? Because just look there, there's a rock. So here's these kids. And they got to say, Pop, look at these stones. These are river rocks. He says, yeah, son, that's right. You know where these came from? My dad told me that his dad was one of the men that carried one of those rocks. You know where these came from, son? Right out of the middle of the Jordan. When they crossed, when our people crossed this Jordan into the promised land, they brought these rocks out of there. And you know what? He told me something else. Come here. And they go over to the edge of the river. You ever just look down at the bottom of a body of water, through the water, and see something? And he says, so what are we looking for, Dad? Oh, you'll know it when you see it. Just look. The water's kind of still right now. Look, do you see anything down there? Well, an old Evan Rude. Anyway, Jimmy Hoffa. Anyway, and he goes, you know, Dad, I think I see another pile of rocks. But those aren't river rocks. Those are rocks. Those look like the rocks up here on the hill. But they're in the middle of the river. This was another memorial, correct? You know what? Now, wait a minute. These rocks came out of the river, and it was a testimony of what God had done for the children of Israel. But you know what these rocks are? They're a memorial, but you know what they're a memorial of? To remind the children of Israel where they came from. They came from over there. You know, guys, sometimes you just need to remember where you came from. You know, sometimes I think that we forget, it's been so long since we were afraid to die that we forgot there was a time when we were afraid to die. I think some of you, it's been so long since you were hopeless, it's been so long since you were afraid to pillow your head because you might die and go to hell that you forgot there was a time when you're afraid to pillow your head. And let me ask you a question. You know, people say, well, there's nothing to what you got. And now, here's what I say. If there's nothing to what happened to me, then how do you explain me? How do you explain me? How do you explain that I got out of the bar? How do you explain that I got called to preach? How do you explain all the stuff that changed? We're in a burger joint on a freeway. And we're from Massillon, Ohio. And my boys all of a sudden said, Dad, look at that, look at that. And here comes this guy, and he's got a jacket that says Massillon Tigers. We're in Indiana. He says, that guy's from Massillon. I looked over, I said, son. I said, that guy's not only from Massillon, that guy grew up a block away from me. His name was Larry Busey. He gets his burger. He's going down to sit down with a burger. I sit down right across from him. I said, Larry. We both went to St. Joe's Roman Catholic Church. Larry and I were raised a block away from each other. We're friends, same age. I said, Larry, Sam Gibb. He's eating his burger. He goes, hey, Sam, how you doing? I said, good. I said, Larry, listen. I said, I got to tell you something. I said, you probably heard a little bit about me. And he's chewing, he's just eating his burger. Yeah, yeah. And I said, Larry, I said about, at that time it would have been about 20 years ago. I said, about 20 years ago, 23 years ago, I trusted Jesus Christ, my personal Savior. And he's eating his burger. Yeah, yeah. And he's eating his burger. I mean, it's a Massillon thing. And I said, Larry, I said I got saved. And I said, then I went to Bible college. Yeah, yeah. And I said, and then I got called to preach. I went, yeah. And I said, and Larry, now I'm an evangelist. I travel all across the country, around the world, preaching. And I'm telling you, he goes. I said, Larry, ain't that the craziest thing you ever heard? He goes, yeah, Sam. That was the craziest thing I ever heard. But how can you say there's nothing to it when that's what's happened? And you say to the children of Israel, you guys never crossed the Jordan. Say, wait a minute, how can you tell we didn't? There's the proof. That's proof that we came across there. If, guys, you know what you best have some kind of a testimony that testifies that you aren't what you were. The things I used to do, don't do them anymore. And the places I used to go, don't go there anymore. And what on earth, if there's nothing to this, what on earth are you doing in church on a Friday night? And some of you are going to come back tomorrow night, and you know what you used to do on Saturday night, and you're going to be in church? Man, my favorite night of all nights to be in church is Saturday night. I love to go to church on Saturday night. You know why? Because I know what some of you used to do on Saturday night. And I believe this, guys. I believe some people just stepping through the doors of a church on Saturday night, that of itself is probably an act of worship. I'll bet you God in heaven just looks down. I'll bet he looked down some of you even tonight on Friday, and he goes, whoa, whoa, hey, Mike, Gabe, look at this down here. Look at this guy, man. Can you believe it? You know what he used to do on Friday night? And look, he's in church and he's singing about me. Guys, if there's nothing to the salvation you got, what are you doing here? It's another memorial. It's a memorial. It is a testimony that it really happened. One last pile of rocks, I'll let you go. Now listen, I want you to think about these memorials. The first one, it was a memorial that they had met with God and heard from God and chose God. The second was a memorial. Each stone represented somebody, and they went over the heart of the high priest into the Holy of Holies. The third was a memorial so that the children of Israel, the children, the future generations, the children, would be curious about what these rocks were and then would learn about their own history and about God. And the fourth one was a memorial that we really did cross it. Man, look, those stones don't belong there. You can't go out in a boat and drop them so that they all land in a pile. They had to be put there. That river had to be dried up for that pile of rocks to be there. Everything I ever heard was true. But there's one more, and this is not a memorial. One more pile of stone. It is not a memorial. Look at 1 Kings chapter 18. 1 Kings chapter 18. And you know this story. Israel was wicked and away from God, and they had a wicked king. And look what it says in verse 21. And Elijah came unto all the people and said, how long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And all the people answered, not. A typical gutless people. They're not voting. You know who they're going to vote? They're going to go with the winner. Well, yeah, maybe God. But if I say God, then Baal will get me. If I say Baal, maybe God will get me. So we'll just kind of watch this. And so it says this. Look at verse 30. And Elijah said unto all the people, come near unto me. And all the people came near unto him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. And he took 12 stones, according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, unto whom the word of the Lord came, saying, Israel should be thy name. And with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord. And you know the story, made a trench about the altar as great as would contain 2 measures of seed. And he put the wood in order and cut the bullock in pieces and laid him on the wood and said, fill 4 barrels with water and pour it on the burnt offering, on the burnt sacrifice and on the wood. Stop. Think. Do you know where Israel is right now? In the middle of a drought. What's most precious commodity in the middle of a drought? And he just don't pour it on the ground. You say, well, how did they get water if there was a drought? They're Jews. You think they didn't have some back? You think they didn't hold some back? You think somebody didn't have, well, I got a little stash of water. There's probably some Jew says, well, I got 3 gallons. And he says, okay. You know, look, hard times may be coming to our country and hard times may be coming to your country. And we say, we'll save up for a rainy day. And so you're going to all go, well, you know, we don't have anything. Oh, come on. When you say you don't have anything, you got something. When you say we are broke, you know you're not broke. You know about your stash. And I'm not talking about marijuana, bucko. I'm talking about loonies. Can you see this Jewish guy? And he said, Look, Elijah wants water. It says here he wants 4 barrels of water. And this Jew goes, well, I got 3 gallons. I'll give 1. So all these Jews get together. You all give 1 gallon. And he says, okay, take that, pour it on there. There's nothing that keeps fire from starting like wet wood. And the guy, you know, he's thinking, well, man, I hate to lose that gallon of water, but at least I still got 2. Verse 34. And he said, do it the second time. Now, can you see this Jew going? He goes, Elijah says, do it a second time. And the guy goes, what did he just say? He said, do it a second time. He didn't say, do it a second time. Yeah, that's what he said. That'll leave me with 1 gallon. Well, at least I'll have 1 gallon. Okay. He goes, do it a third. Man, he wrung these guys out. Literally. And they poured that water out. Verse 35, and the water ran round about the altar and filled the trench also with water. And it came to pass the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel and that I am thy servant, that I have done all these things in thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God and that thou hast turned their heart back again. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench. And look at this. Look at these non-committal people from verse 21. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, the Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is God. But you know when that came? After they fixed that altar up. You know what that altar was? Wasn't that altar a place where they worshiped God? That thing fell in disrepair, didn't it? Don't things fall in disrepair when you don't use them? This one's not a memorial, guys. This one was the source of a revival. Israel had to rebuild the altar and then give a sacrifice of their most precious possession before they ever got the revival. And then you know what they did? They repented. They repented and they rededicated themselves to the Lord and they returned to Him. Kind of like where they were back in Exodus 24 when God first met with them. I wonder if I'm talking to somebody tonight that you can remember a time there's some things in your life used to be there and are not there. I wonder if you used to be a giver, now you're just a tither. But you used to be a giver. I wonder if you used to be a soul winner, now you don't even have any tracks on you. I wonder if you used to be doing something in the church and now you're just out of here just about right about the time the amen is dying in the air from the last amen of the service. You're already headed out the door because you don't want to miss your favorite program. You know what you need? You need some stones. What mean these stones? These stones mean Israel's going to survive. These stones mean Israel's going to get right with God. These stones mean that God is going to be the God of Israel again. And that the people of God are going to say, the Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is God. And the people are going to see God work. You know you want to see God work. And He ain't going to work till He sees you work. And it's going to cost you something, guys. You know what's going to cost you? You know what it's going to cost you. I don't. Did you get that? I said, you know what it's going to cost you. I don't know what it's going to cost you. See, nobody knew who had water stashed and who didn't. Isn't that right? But when he said, I need water, the guys that had water knew what it was going to cost them, didn't they? And when I tell you, you know what's going to cost you, somebody sitting here right now, you know exactly what revival will cost you. And I wonder if you'll ever repair the altar and put out the stones, and if God will ever have a revival here. I'd like you to stand. Stand just a moment. Maybe tonight somebody just needs to bring 1 gallon of water. Maybe you need to dip into your stash and say, Lord, I've been holding this back from you. Lord, my altar's down. It's in disrepair. Used to read my Bible. Used to win people to Christ. Used to come to church more regular. used to be excited. I used to sing specials. And God, now it's just a pile, broken down pile of rocks. Look how many piles of stones. What mean ye by these stones? You know what these stones meant? They meant revival. They meant Israel's going to be the way it's supposed to be. Maybe before we leave here tonight, or maybe before, I should say, Brother Jenkins comes and preaches to us, maybe somebody needs to repair an altar. Why don't you repair the altar tonight? And maybe we'll have revival tomorrow. Father, thank you for your goodness and your grace. And as I said, God, we have no problem with you. And we have no problem with your book. And we certainly know that we are the problem. And there are people standing right here right now, God. And they know what their stash is. And for them to have revival, they know exactly what it's going to cost them. And some of them will, they'll just hang on. But I pray, God, that some people here will repair the altar. That their altar will be repaired. And that they will find out more than ever what these stones mean. They'll mean a revival in this, in their lives, in this church. Who knows, God, maybe Canada. Wouldn't that be good? In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed as the piano plays.